see all of you back here this evening. I trust that you had a good time in the Lord this afternoon at home or wherever you was at. It's good to have visitors with us again tonight. Thankful that you chose to come back and to be with us. I hope you find yourself at home and a blessed time here with us because we enjoy you. Don't forget choir, all choirs next week at 5 o'clock. Youth, beautiful girlhood, children's choir, all choirs, actors, spotlight, sound men, who else? Cooks. Anybody and everybody that has something to do with the choir, we need you here. We're running close to time. We've got to put it all together. So this coming Saturday, Sunday, 5 o'clock, everybody involved, please be here so we can go over to start learning our parts so we can represent the Lord well. Be a big help if you could do that for me. All right, let's go to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter number 14. Mark 14, and we let up in verse number 42 last week. We'll continue our studies through the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading in verse 43 and read down to verse 45. Thank y'all for getting those invitations counted out to hundreds so we can get those put in the mail. Sent out to neighborhoods where we cannot get in. Don't forget, over here there's some handheld invitations to the cantata that you can use and be faithful to do so. Be faithful to be a witness for the Lord, even when there is no cantata, but that's just an easy way. A lot of folks get a little bit more boldness when they have something else to put to it. So take it, use it, be found faithful, to invite folks out to the cantata. The dates are on there. There's some more corn over here if you need some corn. If you're a deer hunter, open it up, throw it out in the field. You don't want to eat it. There's some pumpkins up here left over, real pumpkins. If anybody wants to cut them up and save the seeds for next year, there, take them off the pew there. Help yourself to them. After church, if you're not in the choir, we still need a little bit more help. We're kind of looking like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree up here. We got to get some of these things fluffed out and the rest of them hung. So if you are not in the choir, can hang around for, you know, 15, 20 minutes to help us do that, get the ribbons up. That will be a blessing. This is amazing. This is the last Sunday in November. We're counting down 2017. All right, Mark chapter 14, verse number 43. Mark 14, verse 43, and the Bible says, "And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with the swords and staves, and the chief from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he, take him, lead him away from safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him, verse 46, and they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." All right, the Lord has just got up out the ground prayed, you know, he'd come to the disciples three times seeking their help in prayer. Finally, the third time in verse 41, he cometh the third time and saith to them, sleep on now. Sleep on now. And that's where we ended up last week as we studied through here. And dear friend, if we're not careful, we allow the world to kind of put us to sleep. We just get so used to the things of the world and the hour. Listen, the hour is desperate. This is a crucial hour which we live in today. On every front, folks are demanding that Christ be silenced, that Christians not be bold, that God be put aside. And the scriptures are still as plain today as they were when God wrote them down in the book of Psalms. Any nation that forget God should be turned into hell. Any nation. We're at a crucial hour. And don't be fooled by 1 minute that, well, we've got President Trump up there and things are going to change. We still got Republicans and Democrats that's been in the office in Congress and Senate longer than you and I have been alive. Now, they're not for this country. They're for their own deep pockets. They're for themselves. They're no longer representing people. They're helping themselves. So you can't just say, well, we've got the one in, we want it. We got the one in that God put in office. And he put the same one in office 8 years ago. He puts them all in. We're just part of what God's doing. Be a good citizen. Vote. Be a great Christian and pray. Some of us put more effort into voting than we do praying. More effort into, passing out political flyers than we do passing out gospel tracts. Amen. Now, I'll get to the point here. I mean, he said, listen, Jesus got to the point on the third time. He said, sleep on now. They're here. It's time we wake up, dear friends, and get busy for God, because the day is coming when no man shall work. It's coming a time whenever the moment, a twinkle of the eye, we're going to be caught up out of here. And all of our friends and all of our families and all of our neighbors and all of our co-workers and all those that we have been wishing and wishing and wishing they'd come to the Lord, get saved, they're not going to have another opportunity, because we're going to be caught up out of here. So we got to get busy. Sleep on. They're here. Just like it happened, just immediately they showed up. Just like he said, there's coming a day and an hour when he's coming back for us. We got to be busy. We have got to be busy as we can be. And of course, here comes Judas, one of the 12, and had a great multitude with him, the swords and they had staves, and they were coming to get Jesus. And what's amazing thing here, if you would, look over in John chapter 18, verse 2. Hold your place here. Look over in John 18, 2. John gives us a little bit more information than Mark does about this situation. John 18 and verse number 2. The Bible says here in John 18, 2, and Judas also, which betrayed him, listen to what it says, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. This place of prayer was a familiar place for the Lord. This place in Garden Gethsemane, he didn't just show up there in the difficult hour, the difficult moment. And sometimes that's what we do. We wonder why we're losing the spiritual battles that we're in, is because the only time we run to the throne of God when there's a difficult time. How in the world did Judas know where to find him? Because Jesus has took his disciples there many times. And they didn't go there to press olives either, dear friend. They went there to spend time with God. So he was near. It was a common place. Just like Jesus said later on here, you come and take me like a thief, I was with you daily. In the temple. He was there. This is not some kind of hidden off kind of place out in the outskirts that Jesus had just happened by to kind of hide out. This wasn't where the thugs hid out. There's where the Lord went to get along many times. Oft times, the Bible says there, resorted with his disciples in time of prayer. What amazing thing that Judas would bring those folks to where he knew the Lord would be in prayer. He'd bring these folks into the moment and not only bring them there to where the Lord would be in prayer, a common place for the Lord to be at, but to bring him and then kiss him on the cheek. Isn't that what friends do? Lord, no. That's what enemies do. I mean, to walk up and just kiss the Lord on you, just an outright betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, and multitudes, the Bible says in verse 44, accompanying there, those with swords, and there were some with staves, and I was reading a commentary just the other day about this, and the particular commentary said that he believed that the ones with swords were probably Roman guards, and the ones with staves there, the area was probably more Jewish type temple police, you might say, or bodyguards for the high priest there. So they brought a whole crowd there, to take him by force. And Judas is even hoodwinked a little bit there. You notice in verse 44, the last three words, Judas says, lead him away safely. Judas didn't think there was going to be an uproar. Judas probably just thought he was going to force the hand of the Lord. They were going to run those Romans up out of Jerusalem, and then the Jewish government would take over, be sit back up. They'd call a king and put the king back on the throne, the high priest back in the temple. And they'd have their place of worship. They'd have their own king, and he just missed the mark on what was happening here. Not only him, the other disciples did as well, because some of them desired that, he show himself as King of Kings right then, but it wasn't time. It was not his time for that to take place. And then prearranged there with a little kiss. He's going to give you a token. I'm going to kiss him on the cheek there and take him and take him away safely and securely. How little did they know about Jesus? Jesus wasn't going anywhere. They didn't have to show up with staves. And well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, look over in John 18. They didn't have to come like he was some kind of criminal. John 18. And look what the Bible says in verse 37. John 18 and verse 37. He's before Pilate at this point in this passage of Scripture. It says, and Pilate saith unto him, what is true? I mean, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus had a job to get done. He wasn't going nowhere, but they showed up there. He said, look, why didn't you take me in the temple? Why did it have to be like this? I'm not a thief. I'm not a criminal. I'm not a gigantic general with a great army behind me. Although he could have called legions of angels, he could have, he didn't. But Jesus said, for this cause, I've come for this cause and for this purpose only. To take the sins of the world upon my body, to die on the cross of Calvary, like it was prophesied that I would do. So that many may be free. And there was. They took him, grabbed him up, and kind of a little bit kind of roughed the Savior up. If you look in verse number 46, and they laid their hands on him and took him. I mean, they just said, hey, let's go ahead, get over here on the road. They took him. They laid their hands on him. Look in John 18, 12 again. John chapter 18 and verse number 12. The Bible says in 18:12, then the band and the captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So not only did they take him, not only did they grab him, but they roped him up somehow or another, bound him up and took him on down the road. It wasn't like nothing like Judas. Listen, that's how the devil works. Judas is coming there, bargaining with the flesh, bargaining with carnality, bargaining with the devil. The devil promises, oh yeah, we'll be gentle, we'll be safe, it'll be okay, it won't harm, won't hurt. And Judas comes there with a gentle kiss to betray the Savior, and then tells him, lead him away safe. The Bible says they bound him up and took him. That's what sin does to us. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Ecclesiastes says something about foxes. What does it say about foxes? Gigantic wolves, little foxes. Just little bitty things. Just little, and before you know it, it just turns things up in a turmoil. You know, I told you about the church in Mississippi that we were visiting with. When we'd go back home, we'd try to find the church once we got saved. We'd go back home, visit with our mother-in-law, my wife's mom, and family down there in Mississippi. We found a little church down the road that we kind of enjoyed attending. And before long, there was a big old split in the church because one of the wives in the church didn't get to bake the evangelist a pie that week that came in. Next thing you know, the whole church is split apart over baking pies. Shame. Just a little bitty silly stuff. That's what the devil does. He doesn't get in here, with some gigantic, it's little bitty petty things. A little bit here, a little bit there. Before you know it, there's a big old problem. Doesn't have to be that way, and that's how it was here with Judas. For Judas to do it, what he perceived was going to take place didn't take place. That's how the devil works. What you think you're going to wiggle and get your room around in and get your place in, by the time it's all said and done, it's a nasty mess when the flesh gets involved. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see it right here. Just doesn't happen. Not at all does it happen. The Savior was roughly treated there in verse number 46 and then verse 47. Look what it says there. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against thieves with swords and with staves and to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. So Peter there drew the sword. Look over there in John chapter number 18. The Bible even tells us the man and who Peter cut the ear off with. John chapter number 18. And verse number 12. John 18, the Gospel of John. Chapter 18 and verse 12. Let's see. John 18:10. I'm sorry. John 18:10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. Then the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. He got onto him. That's what happened. Listen, whenever you get caught up in the moment, you think you're going to work the righteousness of God through the wrath of your temper, the wrath of your anger, and through your own will, you end up hurting other people. Malchus was here just doing a simple job, just doing what he was paid for. When you get that attitude, when that police officer pulls you over because you were speeding, ran a red light or ran a stop sign, you get that attitude with him, different, he's just simply doing his job. You don't have to get no attitude with him. Just bear it. You're the one with speeding. Take your foot up off the gas and go the speed limit and go on down the road and be happy. You don't have to be upset at the one that's just the messenger. Man, Peter got all upset, drew his sword and whacked off his ear. Before you know it, he's outside of his own cognizance. He wasn't even thinking correctly. Wasn't thinking correctly at all. Listen, go with me to Luke chapter 22, in verse number 51. Luke 22, in verse number 51. The scripture said there, and Jesus answered, said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear, and he healed him. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to heal folks. He wants to heal wounds. He wants to heal those that have been wounded by others. And, listen, vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. He didn't need Peter to step out there and to cut off his ear. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So often we forget that we're in a different type of battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're not in a physical battle, we're in a spiritual battle. And Peter didn't understand what was going on. Right now was one of the greatest spiritual battles of all time. The devil himself was trying to destroy the Lamb of God. He was working right into the plan of God, because for this very cause he came. But, with emotions running wild and things happening, Peter whipped out his sword and just whacked off the Malchus's ear, and the Lord reached down and put it back, and he healed it there in the presence of Peter and the disciples. It's like, be kind. Do unto others as you'd have them done. You think Peter wanted his ear ripped off, cut off? No. We got to get to the point where we understand something, dear friend. It's more than just getting the last word. It's more than just being right. This has got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about Him and suffering loss and allowing Christ to have the honor. And when we're reviled, we revile not again. Well, preacher, you sound like you're some kind of pacifist. You sound like you're trying to make... No, Jesus is not a pacifist. Not at all. Well, how do you know that? Well, Scripture teaches us that. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 52. I'm just telling you, there's a time where you turn the other cheek and you'll allow yourself to be abused for Christ's sake. Matthew 26:52. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. I'm sorry, I didn't want to go there. I already read that one. I wanted to see Luke 22:36. Sorry. Luke 22:36. Luke 22:36. Luke chapter 22, verse 36. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And listen to what it says. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. So Jesus is for having protections of weapons of protections. He is for making sure that your household is cared for, making sure that whenever things are needed, that you have the sword that you should have. So he's not a pacifist. He's not one that just allows things to happen. Matter of fact, throughout Scripture, you find that God used the rod of anger many times. It was another nation. Syria was rod of anger, God's anger. Syrians there. So God is He's not teaching us here in this thing that we're just to not to fight during the not to. What He's saying is, don't let your wrath be the wrath of man. Let yourself be used by God. So sometimes, dear friend, you have to, make sure that you are cared for in so much that He says, if you don't have a sword, go sell your garment. It's all this craziness going on around us here. People walking inside churches and walking inside malls and walking inside of cinema shows and things of that nature, shooting everybody up and doing that. Dear friend, we have to have be protected. We have to protect ourselves.
Amen.
It's that simple. We have to. But you can't run over to your neighbor's house because you think he's parked on your lawn and start whacking his ear off. That's not what God's talking about. God's not talking about when you're in Walmart and then somebody bumps you with a buggy that you're ready to throw up and throw fist at them. That's not what God's talking about. There's a time for protection, but brawling there is no time for. No time. Not at all. There. So God is teaching us some lessons there as we go through there. And verse number 48, if you would, go back over verse back to Mark. Mark chapter number 48. And no, I'm not suggesting you go out and make a yard sale so you can buy a gun. Don't go selling all your clothes. Because I don't want you to end up like this next young man that we're fixing to read about. One of the strangest passages of scriptures here I ever read in my life. I don't even know if I won't even stop here tonight. I told Brother Josh the other day when I was talking to him about it. I said, I don't even know what to say about this. You get on down there, Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out against thieves and with swords and with staves? Take me. Verse 49, I was daily with you in the temple. Look, I was around you. Take me then. No, you didn't. Why? Because it must be fulfilled. And then verse 50, and they all forsook him and fled. Every last one of them fled. Not a one. And it was because of the fulfillment of Scripture. And then you have this young man. Verse 51 and 52. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and a young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Y'all figured it out already, didn't you? I have no idea. I was reading Brother Jim, and one commentary said this. I believe that could have been John Mark. But I'm not sure. Well, what's he doing writing in a book for then? I believe it could have been John Mark. So I've been pondering this. I've been trying to figure out. Because God doesn't just throw words in the air and put them in a scripture just to fill up a space. They're there for a reason. And they followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. I don't know, Brother James. That's one thought. We know that nakedness is a sin. How do you know that? Because in the book of Genesis, whenever they took of that fruit and ate it, their eyes was open and they knew they were naked. So they got them some fig leaves, throwed them on, and that wasn't good enough. Fig leaves wasn't quite big enough. So God come along, asked them where they was at, called out to them, we're hiding. Why? Because we're naked. Who told you so? So God done killed him two animals, skinned them out, clothed them, and covered them up. So we know that nakedness is a sin. Well, how do you know that? Well, Peter was on the boat fishing and he saw the Lord and he threw on his fisher's coat because the Bible says he was naked. But isn't it amazing that in the middle of all this here situation that's going on around us, God decided to mention a naked young man? That was kind of following close. It was kind of just hanging out off in the woods. Peter done whacked off an ear. Jesus done healed it. He's still hiding off in the shades over there in the shadows of the dark. Everybody's gathered around him. And then all of a sudden somebody notices. And the Bible says the young men grabbed him. And they done pulled his tablecloth off of him. See, that's what it says, right? Having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and laid fled from them naked. So I guess the moral of the story is, you never know where you're going to meet Jesus. Have more than a tablecloth wrapped around your body. Because somebody's going to grab it and pull it off. And you're going to be a little embarrassed. If you got a better one than that, talk to me after church. Because I ain't buying it's John Mark. I ain't buying it for one moment it's John Mark, but I do know this. If you're naked, dear friend, running around, Jesus will let you around him for a little bit. But then you're going to get clothed. How do you know that? That demoniac. He was naked, throwing himself on fire, laid out on tombs, cutting himself, chained up. Next thing you know, Jesus gets involved in his life. He gets in his right mind, and the Bible says he's seated at the feet of Jesus, clothed. So that there is where we're going to let off tonight. Go home, get in your pajamas. Don't lay around. Should I tell that story, Brother Josh? Yeah. Some of y'all don't even know this. I won't tell the full story, but I'll tell most of it. We've been here 2 weeks, Brother Jim, down in the parsonage about 5 o'clock in the morning. I hear banging. I'm in the shower. I don't shower with no clothes on. Maybe you do, I don't. And they're banging. Well, James, I mean banging. So I pull the curtain back because the whole house is asleep. All the kids asleep, everything. And I look out the bathroom door and there's a police car. Down at the barstage. Boom! And I open up the bedroom door and look up there. There's 3 police cars in the front. I grab a towel. I run as fast as I can to the front door. Like somebody breaking in on us. I've only been here 2 weeks. They come and arrest me. I ain't even got to preach a good sermon yet. I open up the door. And the police officer says, "Is everything all right in here?" I said, "Yeah, everything's fine." He said, we just had a 911 call from here." I said, "No, sir, everybody's asleep." My wife comes running up there. Her hair is all crazy when you get out of the bed. Like, what's going on? This is true story. I calmly spoke with them, Brother Randy. They didn't jerk me down to the ground. They didn't pull their guns out. I didn't get shot. We're having a conversation. My eyes are wide open with a towel wrapped around me. And I'm thinking, Lord, help. He said, "This is 14331, isn't it?" I said, "No, sir, this is 14234. They all jumped in their cars and took off doing donuts, headed to wherever they were going. I almost started showering in my clothes after that. Father, we love you. There's plenty of scripture we don't understand, but there's a lot that we do. Lord, help us not to focus on that which we do not understand. You will bring that to our attention, and you will teach us those understandings when you're ready for us to know them. God, help us with the scripture that you already have revealed to us. Help us to be obedient. Help us to understand that this is all about you. That I or nobody else means nothing. But you have to increase in our lives, in our community, in our church. Lord, people need the Lord. Help us to be a usable tool for your sake and for their sakes. In Jesus' name, amen.